Come to you again this day, Lord, and we thank you for this book we're fixing to open. Without it, we will not know anything that we can know about you, about your plan, and about your purpose. Without it, Lord, it'd be hard to make decisions about anything, to deal with any problems of life. We'd have no standard to go by. Thank you for this book. Help us keep it hidden in our heart. We have to make so many decisions. Lord, I'm dealing seeing what all the time, day by day, decisions after decisions from people and by the church, and I pray you'd give wisdom. Dear God, I pray that you'd be honored in all that's said and done. And I pray this morning as I yield myself to you, please help, dear Father, that I might be my best for you. And in turn, you'd be able to bless people through words that'll be given from these lips today as we study your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Ruth. Now, for a number of days, you wonder when you have Mother's Day and Father's Day and days like this, what it is you can speak on. Most people think that, you know, a message should be about mothers, and grant you it should be. On Father's Day, it should be about fathers. At Christmas, we know it should be about the birth of Christ. Easter should be about the resurrection of Christ. And I was thinking, well, you know, what can you say? I preached for years now on Mother's Day and before Mother's Day and after Mother's Day, and I preached messages around Mother's Day. And while writing a few weeks ago and thinking about this from somewhere or another, hospital I'm coming from or something, and just talking to the Lord, the thought came to my mind, have I ever preached a message on mother-in-laws? And you know I hadn't. Guess what? This is Mother's Day, but I was amazed when I began to study a little bit about what it means to be a mother-in-law. Now, did you know only a mother can be a mother-in-law? That's all we need to know, isn't it? Amen. We'll go home. Yes, sir. Only a mother can be a mother and a mother-in-law. When we think about this, we benefit from honoring our mothers. I believe that. God teaches people to honor their mothers. And by the way, that's a law of the Word of God. Did you know that that is something that God will judge people on one day because it's a law of God to honor your mother? So it's a benefit from that we get from honoring our mothers. For to do so is to honor God. But I guess before we read Chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, Ruth shows her respect to her mother-in-law. Unfortunately, there is an antagonism between the parent of children and those whom their children marry. There's probably more problems in families due to in-laws sometimes than a lot of other things. And then we have to understand that when we have children, we want them to the best. And sometimes when we look at arena they're in once they leave the nest, we don't like some things we see. But we talk about mother-in-law. It seems that for some unknown reason, the blame for this problem in parents' children is blamed more on the mother of the husband or wife than is on the dad. I wonder why. You seldom ever hear a father-in-law joke. But comedians make their livelihood on motherhood and mother-in-law jokes. I wonder why. I don't know if I have the answer to that. But I know this. Most of the time, a mother-in-law is generally presented as a bossy, interfering, cunning, a troublemaker between her children and their partners, as they cause contention between them. When a dad is concerned when his daughter is taken away by a husband, he's concerned because he don't think there's no other man can do for his daughter what he can do for. When a mother has a son that's been taken away by that other woman, it's even worse. The reason for it is he don't no longer go to her because there's a problem. He don't go to her like he did and talk about things like he used to. I mean, you know, when it comes to triumphs and questions and things, he has a woman to do that to now. And even though he loves his mother, it just seems whatever comes from that angle that there is a problem more so with the mother-in-law over the son sometimes than the daughter-in-law is over with the dad. I'm just telling you what statistics generally tell us. So I guess it's because it's natural that that the mother-in-law, because of the attitude that is towards her, that she'd have some twinges of jealousy when it comes to her son or daughter at that time. And, of course, when you think about mother-in-laws, there's always some good jokes about that. I read this past week. I'll get hit for this, I reckon, but I read this past week before her husband heard the doorbell ring. And when he opened the doorbell, he saw his mother-in-law standing on the front steps of the stoop of the house. And she said to her son-in-law, she said, I could ask you a question. May I stay here a few days? And he said, sure, and slammed the door. You get that after a while. Stay on the stoop. It'll be all right with him. Amen. And then I seen where another young lady came home one day, and this boy's wife, and he came in, he found his mother-in-law standing in a bucket of water with her finger in a light switch, and her son fixed to flip the switch. And she said, Mother, what are you doing? She said to her daughter, she said, Honey, isn't it a wonderful thing? George has found a marvelous way to cure my rheumatism. Well, that's the end of the mother-in-law jokes now. But I want to read Ruth chapter 1 quickly through and get an idea here and then talk about Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth. God gives us examples of what we should be. Whether we be an individual, whether we be a groom or a bride-to-be, whether we be a husband or a wife, whether we be a grandmother or a granddad, whether we be a great-grandmother or or whether we be a mother-in-law or a father-in-law, God gives us some great examples in the Scriptures how He shows that it works if we obey what He does and what He says or what He implies sometimes about situations. And I think we see that here. It says, Now it came to pass in those days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife, Naomi, and the name of the two sons was Mahlon and Chilion. Aradites of Bethlehem, Judea, and they came to the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the other name of the other was Ruth, and that they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died, and both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard the country of Moab, how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Now notice, she was in Bethlehem, there's a famine in the land, and she heard in Moab, which is a place that they should not have been to start with, but she heard they were having some good times over there. It was not like it was in Bethlehem. So Elimelech takes his family to Moab. And now she hears, after she's gone through this period of time, lost her husband, lost her two sons, she's gained two daughters-in-law, she hears that now God is blessed back in Bethlehem. And now she is headed back in that direction. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to that land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughter-in-laws, Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. It's kind of a blessing. Return to your home now where you're from. The Lord's deal kindly And may the Lord deal kindly with you as you dealt with me. I've lost my husband, two sons, and you treat me the best that you could treat me. And I read from this. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice, and they wept. And they said to her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Naomi, being the mother-in-law that she certainly wanted to be and should be, realized at her age she could not have any more children, or if she did remarry, which she didn't seem to intend to, but if she did remarry, these two ladies could not wait until she had a child and then wait another 20 years, hopefully that she may remarry, or they may marry her sons. And this is what she said. And we turn again, my daughters, why would ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husband? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, he said, I'm too old. But if I should have hope and have one, and now he said, shall I bear sons for you? Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay with them, stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieved me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. I wonder why she'd say that. I thought, why would she say, now for years later, the hand of the Lord's gone against me? She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. Well, first of all, maybe she thought she shouldn't have left Bethlehem to start with. See, going to Moab is trusting your thinking and the world more than trusting God. Bethlehem is where God would bless. And if he had anything to happen in that area, it's because something was happening within the people. And it's understanding now that she feels like that she's had a tough hand because she made her own decision, or even because she went with her husband who made the wrong decision. And so it goes ahead, he said in verse 14, said, they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Orpah decided she's going back, but Ruth says no. Now keep in mind, she's a Moabite. She's a Gentile. She's not a Jew. And by rights, to stay in her homeland would have been the right thing. But she had to make a conscientious decision. And that decision was she was going to her mother-in-law. And she was going to do, though she was a Moabite, she was going to look after her mother-in-law. They had a kind and good relationship. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is going back unto her people, unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. You have no obligation to go with me whatsoever. Now, if she'd been a Jew, there might have been a little obligation in the reign of God, but now she has no obligation at all to go with her mother-in-law. And Naomi said this, you're my daughter-in-law, but you have no obligation to go with me. Go back to your homeland. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee. Don't beg me. Don't ask me. Please don't ask me. Please don't beg me to leave thee. Entreat me not to do that. It shows a side of who Ruth was. And maybe this is the reason that God saw, and we see the sign here, that he chose her to be the one that would be the descendants from a Gentile to come in of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things here that God has not said, but he said enough to give us some ideas. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I'll go. Whether thou lodgest, I'll lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God, where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me. And more also, if aught but death part thee and me. The only thing going to separate us from my standpoint, she said, is death. It parts us from each other. So they went. Until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem, all that was in the city was moved in about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Can you imagine not seeing her for years? We don't know exactly how long, a number of years, 10 plus years. Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi. Naomi means pleasant. It means that the good side, you might say. Call me Mara, she says, which means bitterness. Why would she say that? For the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full with a family, and full the Lord had brought me home again empty. But wait a minute, wasn't there a famine in the land? No, but she realized her family meant more than anything else now, and they're gone. And said, why then call ye Naomi, seeing the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, I want to speak to you a few minutes on Naomi, the mother-in-law. And the first thing, let's look at Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth. It's interesting. The book of Ruth has four chapters. There's about 85 verses. But it's power-packed. that's inserted in time to show us the working of God, you know, 1,300 plus years before Jesus Christ came. And God has taken a circumstance. He's letting people make decisions. And as they make decisions, they're able to leave Bethlehem and go to the land of Moab. And there, certainly their sons are going to marry in that land. That's the people they're going to meet. And the sons marry a Moab, a Ruth, and Orpah. And when they have been married about 10 years, the son dies. And now, Naomi hears about time in Bethlehem is much better than it was when they left years before that. Ruth is a famous woman in the Bible. Many people have studied her life. She was a very generous woman. We see that even now. She had a generous spirit. She was very loyal. And by what we see with her mother-in-law, I guarantee you she was very loyal to her husband. And if there's something here that is amazing about relationships when God is in that. She was a direct line from which David came. That made her a direct line in which the Lord Jesus Christ's lineage would come when he would be born years later, 1,300 plus years later. Now, Naomi was the wife of Elimelech, and here they lived in Bethlehem. She was a wonderful mother-in-law, as we see in verse 8 in chapter 1, when she said this to him, "Go return into your mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you. I don't wish you any harm. I want God to bless you like you have blessed me. I want him to give to you in return what you had done for me." Says a lot about this lady, Ruth, though she had no obligations as a Moabite to do this. She could have walked away free hand. She had that the Moabites were not Jews, and they were not in part of the promises of God at this particular time. Due to the famine here in Israel, they left Judah with two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, to live in the land of Moab. Verse 1 tells us that. Things went well for a period of time, and then Elimelech died. And now the sons meet two ladies. Naomi was left with two sons. They married. And the women of Moab, again, their names are Orpah and also Ruth. After about 10 years, according to verse 8, after about 10 years, both her sons die in this land. They were at young age when they died. Naomi now has no husband and no child, but she has two daughter-in-laws. They have no ties except marriage. And you know, a lot of times when the husband or wife dies, then the family ties generally are not as close as they were when the marriage was there, if they were close at all under those circumstances. And so here she decides to return to Bethlehem. The family was over there. God was blessing again back in that place. Orpah reluctantly went back with her. And you see that in verse 14. Here, Ruth firmly though, steadfastly, the Bible sets forth, she put forth that she would not leave her mother-in-law. Verse 16 and 17 tells us that. Entreat me, don't beg me to do this. Evidently, Naomi was really concerned about her going back to Bethlehem with her when she had no ties there except through marriage. Their ways would be different. Their culture would be different. Their lives would be different than it would be in the land of Moab. And of course, Ruth says, "No, where you go, I'm going to go. Your God will be my God's." And he go forth and said, "When thou diest, then will I die with you and be buried there in that land." I'm getting an idea about who Ruth is, an idea about who Naomi is as this conversation goes on in life. And so now they're about 120 miles from Bethlehem. And they begin to start. Orpah, of course, turns back. And Ruth does not. She cleaves to her mother-in-law. Now, again, 120 miles have been a short distance in our day. With a car, we'd have been there probably shortly within 2 hours. With a plane, a lot faster. But in that day, it was slow. It was very dangerous traveling by foot. They had to go over rivers and mountains, and they had to go in a lot of places where there was danger going back to Bethlehem. But they set on the journey to do so. And again, Naomi means pleasant, delightful. And when she gets into the land, she says, "Don't call me again, Naomi. Call me Mara." Now notice, Naomi did not lose a son in this marriage. in the marriage. She lost a son in death, but she didn't lose a son in marriage. She gained a daughter. And when you end up in the last chapter, you find when things were through and her and Boaz came together, the Bible says in verse 15, "And he shall be unto thee a restorer of life and a nourisher of thy own age, for thy daughter-in-law," speaking about Ruth, hear me, watch this. This is an example of living. We're talking about biblical living. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes God gives us truth, and then sometimes God gives us example which will show us how to obey truth in making decisions. And he goes on, the scripture goes on and says that he shall be into the restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thy old age, for thy daughter-in-law, singular by herself, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons had been born to you. Ruth to Naomi, the Bible says, is worth more than seven sons from her womb. She must have been a pretty important lady, hadn't she? Why? Why do you think it said that? Because she loved her mother-in-law. And she loved the relationship that was there. And when I get to that, then I want to look at, I've seen Naomi, the mother-in-law. Then I want to see now Ruth, the daughter-in-law, and what takes place in this wonderful story. Story of Ruth and Boaz begins to unfold in chapter 2. In verse 1, we see still the love of Ruth for Naomi. She goes and said, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a mighty man of wealth of the family lineage, and his name was Boaz, but she didn't know him at this time in the sense where Ruth was going to go. It was not Naomi who told Ruth to go out and glean because they would need some food. It was Ruth that said to her mother-in-law in verse 2, and Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, "Let me go now to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said, "Go unto her, go, my daughter." Ruth said to Naomi, "Give me the clearance to go into the field. We're hungry, we need food, that I might go and glean from the crops." And that day, when there was a harvest that was made, God set forth that Israel was to leave arrows in the corners of the field for the gleaning of the poor. They could reap the harvest, but they had to leave arrows to glean. And the poor could go in and find a place and glean that corn or whatever it was that they had for their purpose. It was a way that God helped the poor in that day. And she says to Naomi, "Let me go and glean in the field. Let me find the person I can find grace with. And when I find that place, then I'll glean. And then we'll be able to get food that way." And so she goes, the story tells us. Boaz, all of a sudden, comes to visit his workers one day. Just quickly, I don't have time to read all this. You can read it later. And he asks some of his servants after he greeted them, "Who is this lady here?" And they began to explain to him. And they set forth that in verse 6, verse 5, at a party said, "Whose dam was this?" And it said, and the servant that was set over the reaper answered and said, "It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." It is Ruth, the Moabitish woman, who came back with Naomi. Now, Boaz knew Naomi. They were kin folks. But they not met now since she's come back at this particular time, as far as we know is concerned. And she said, "I pray you." First of all, go back and said, and she said, "I pray thee." Now Ruth, "I pray you at this time, let me glean and gather in the reaper's field among you." And he tells her, "Go right ahead and do that. Don't go to another," he says, "don't go to another field. Stay right here. And I'm going to give charge to our men. They're not to harm you. They're not to come in because you're a Moabite lady. They will not touch you if you want to glean here." And then he goes a little bit further in verse 11. She says to him, why have you done this to me? Why have I found grace in your eyes?" Watch what Boaz says. This is another key error here about the life of Ruth as a daughter-in-law and Naomi as a mother-in-law. It says in verse 11, "Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, and how that thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come into a people which thou knewest not heretofore. I've heard about how you dealt with your mother-in-law. I've heard how you cared for her. I heard how you left your country to come back here out of the love for your mother-in-law. And he said, I want to tell you another thing, what you can do. You stay here and you go and eat with our maids that's here. You can not only glean, you'll be looked after, but I want you to eat with the maids here at the table where they eat at. Now this is not usual that a Jew would ask a Gentile from Moab to go to a table and eat with them. Then he said to his men, as you harvest, leave some spots for her to glean from. And us, it's not just gleaning now. You leave some spots as you harvest the field where she's at that she can actually get more than just gleaning. And then he says, not only I want you to do that, I want you to drop some just on purpose. That's where you get handfuls of purpose. And of course, you see that down in in verse 16. Let them fall on purpose. So Boaz told his servants to drop some on purpose now. In chapter 4, verse 5 through 10, after customers were fulfilled and Boaz's everything was seen, how they were together and what was needed in Kinsman, what they could do and not do, these type of things was done, Boaz ends up marrying Ruth. Isn't that amazing? You say, boy, that's just coincidence. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. There had to be some decisions made in the famine to go to Moab. There had to be some decisions made when they're in the land of Moab. And by the way, they weren't seeking God's face at this time either. You don't find nowhere they were seeking God's face. There had to be some decisions made when her dead Imlach and two sons died. When go back home, Ruth and Orpah had to make a decision. You see, I want you to see, we in life are making decisions all the time. It is right to obey God anytime. Because when you and I make a decision that is to obey God, or because we think God would be pleased with that, God is working out something for the future for His plan and purpose. He uses us at the time to make good, godly, conscientious decisions. And when we do that, God will honor that sometime in the future, because He's going to work His plan out faster and much better when people just simply obey God when they're living and when their time is in time. And that's what's happened here. Did you think Ruth said, you know, if I do this, I'll get to be a wife of Boaz one day? You know what's going to happen? That'll let me be a genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't even have Christ in her mind. She didn't have Boaz in her mind. She only had one thing. I'm going to honor and be true to my mother-in-law. I love her that much. What an amazing story that's happening here at this particular time. Naaman was left with the two sons. Things went well. And now she's in turmoil. After the customs were fulfilled, Boaz married Ruth. She had a son called Obed, who was the father of Jesse. Jesse had a son called David. Jesse was the father of David. And David had sons and daughters through the years, but a genealogy, a line of genealogies down through the years for at least 1,400 years, the finality of the result was there came a day that Jesus Christ was born. Amen. By the will of God, the seed of God, through a woman called Mary. And in this situation, the mother-in-law now is a grandmother. Go back to this time. She's a grandmother. And she, as her mother-in-law, reaps the reward of her patience. She reaps the reward of care for her daughter-in-law. As you see down again in verse 14, 15, 16, and 17 of chapter 4, you'll find here what I just read to you about that she was the daughter-in-law, loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons. Now Naomi took the child, verse 16, and laid it on her bosom and became nurse to it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it to that name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Naomi, listen, Naomi had the privilege of helping raise her grandson. There is some mother-in-laws that have that privilege in this land. But here, she had the privilege of helping raise the grandson. He was destined as the link, it's in the descendants of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. She didn't know that, but God kept a record. We know that. We have it documented. I'm talking about Naomi, the mother-in-law. Now today, mother-in-laws have been sadly degraded. They've been sadly degraded. Now it's one thing, mother, if you're a mother-in-law here today, and we're talking not only just a mother-in-law, you want to live a godly example. If not, you don't deserve to be honored. I didn't think I'd get amen to that. But God teaches us that we need to live a godly example because then we can give advice when asked. And I'll show you that in just a few minutes. It's important that we live a godly example for our children, grandchildren, and even as a mother-in-law. Mother-in-laws have been heavily, sadly degraded. She needs to be restored to its place of honor when that needs to be done. Mother-in-law should be a help to their children. Let me say that again. We're talking about mother-in-law, mothers today. Mother-in-law should be a help to their children. Why? Because they can give like a grandmother. They can give counsel, advice, aid, comfort. But hear me. They can give counsel, aid, advice, and comfort. But hear this phrase. Only when asked for. All right, I'm gone. I'm about to get a chance to preach again, Heather. Only when asked for. That's a godly mother. Why? Ladies and gentlemen, it used to say years ago, you don't hear nowadays, when you make your bed, you have to lie in it. I heard that as a boy many times coming up, and that's the old folks' language. You don't hear that today. So what happens is once God brings a unit out and starts another unit of a home, the husband and wife are responsible for that home and those children there. And when that happens and takes place today, then they have to learn by their own mistakes. And when we're asked, we aid. And it's hard not to do that. I'm a preacher, and I like to preach to my family as much as I do to you. In fact, sometimes I hope they won't leave me as much as you do. Amen. What I'm saying is that unit is before God. I'm being honest with you this morning. And they're responsible for God. And everything should be to assist them to grow so that they can handle those situations in life when it comes to the problems. Sons-in-laws and daughters-in-laws must be allowed to make their own mistakes. And I've had to learn this myself. I had to learn this myself. Because I believe this Bible, and I just believe everything done just like the Bible said, dude, you won't have a bit of problem whatsoever. God will honor that, and I found out. God will, but he won't honor it unless they're willing to abide by it. And you and I can't make them abide by it. We can't make them abide by it. They have to make their own decisions. They have to understand there's a standard and see the standard in mother and dad that they don't waver, but at the same time they love them, still love them. And that's where Naomi's at here with Ruth. Ruth loves Naomi. She'll go the extra mile. And notice another thing is, when you see Naomi talking to Ruth here, she's not demanding things. She's talking about, in general, what to do. When she met Boaz, and Naomi said, well, this is a kinsman. She gives advice to her. You read the rest of the story, and you see that. We have to keep in mind, without mother-in-laws, your husband and wife will not exist at all. We know that, so they have to be loved. But I wonder how many times there's been a time when there's been words that could have been simply not caused a problem if a person just say, you know, I love you, and I have advice for you, but I'll only give it when you ask for it. And I believe God honors that. We see that right here. I want you to know I'm older and I know better, but it's your life, and I want you to know I'm here. If you want advice, I'll give it to you. But I'm not going to force it on you. God's going to have to let you bring you to a point you realize when you grow or growing, you never know it all. And there are those who are older can help, but it should be advice asked for, not forced on. And so here, I believe I see that in Naomi. Naomi honored Ruth. Ruth honored Naomi. And under that circumstances, the honor brought life both to Naomi and Ruth. When Naomi honored Ruth and Ruth honored Naomi, They both brought light. God brought life to both. Why? Because when they did that, God was honored. And God blessed that. Reckon God saw? Sure he did. The people I need for my job, here's a situation, though Naomi and Abelich made a bad decision to leave Bethlehem. Here's a situation that where they've made decisions, and they can be used for the genealogies of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, where I'd have not only a Jew, but a Gentile, showing that I love the world. And we see that happening right here. Ruth made sure that Naomi was taken care of. This is called honoring her. Naomi made sure that Ruth was in a special place. This is called honoring her. Today, we're called to honor mothers. We're called to honor grandmothers. When we talked here this morning in a note class, we were talking about honoring mothers. And there's a time that all of us probably think back and we didn't honor them like we should. And God touches our heart for that. But we still should honor our mothers. And by the way, that don't mean she's not to be honored when you get 30 or 40 years old. I think most adults know we don't have a right to tell our children what to do when they're adults. But we can advise them. And a lot of times, it ought to be when the advice is asked. Today we're called to honor our mothers. As a wife honors her mother, her husband should honor his mother-in-law. As a husband honors his mother, his wife should honor her mother-in-law. The mother-in-law should give advice only when asked for. Because you know as good as I do, you start giving advice not asked for, and you got problems. Individuals do not think alike, and they have to learn. You know what happened when we give advice when asked for? They come to the conclusion after a while, some of the advice we had to give to start would have helped them listen. If God can't force something on us to do something, why do we think we can force someone to do something? God gives us that chance to make a decision, and if we don't make the right decision, we'll suffer the consequence, and eventually we come crying back to Him, asking, God, please help me, forgive me, I'm sorry, I messed up. And I determined to try to do better in the future. Mother-in-law should give advice only when asked for, and always live a godly life before them until you are asked for the advice. And I look again at Ruth, and I see Ruth shows us a good daughter-in-law. Naomi shows us a good mother-in-law. You know what God shows us from this? Listen to me, folks. Listen to me. God shows us that as they honored each other, they honored Him. As they honored each other, they honored God. And the results of that here, God honored them. Sometimes there's a running back to the mother when things don't go well in the home. And sometimes that may cause the reason why a mother-in-law may act or a father-in-law may act like they do, because you want the best for your children. But God teaches us we have to step back and say, Lord, I'm here. When I give advice, let it be God-given so they'll listen rather than resent what I say because they're hurting. And they think, boy, if I could have an atmosphere like my mother and dad had, it'd be a lot better. Not realizing that don't come overnight. You learn to work together in your home. You learn that God gives love beyond puppy love when you get married. You learn to deal with problems because you love each other, not because you love yourself more than you love your mate. And then you find yourself as you make decisions, Lord, how will this help me to promote your kingdom? I think about, and I've said before, Barbara's mother. She's a great mother-in-law. I don't never know that she ever helped me one bit about Barbara. No, she was always there. When I say that, she never come and say, Charles, I know how Barbara is. I'm praying for you for her. No. No, she never said that. She never gave us any advice that I know of, unless Barbara talked to her secretly. But one thing for sure, she always showed respect. Barbara's mother was a lady. I never, in the years that I knew her, saw her a pair of pants on. She believed at her rate, but for God was a lady. Whether she was in church or at Walmart, it made no difference. I have some good memories of her. And I thank God for that. And we were talking about this past week. My mother's still alive. I have good memories there. But I think about a standard of her mother that I never saw in my own home. Ladies and gentlemen, don't tell me, it means something when you live a life like you talk it. And you'll have people remembering. What better thing could I say today than remember something that showed a character of an individual as a mother-in-law? You want to have some of those memories. And I say, if you've got cross words with someone somewhere or another, and they're life is trying to be that which pleasing. You can know. You can't deceive God, and you can't deceive people either. Then you ought to go to your mother-in-law and tell them you love them. You ought to go to your mother first, but mother-in-law will tell you, and I thank God that you had this lady that I married or this son that I married. And I pray that if I ever need advice that I can come to you and get it. I don't want to have a ripple in our life that when our children get older, they'll remember more so than love we have. There was love between Naomi and Ruth. A different type of love than it was between which one of these sons she married. There's a love that was there. And God gives us that example of telling us, even in circumstances, you say, well, in our case, God's not looking for someone to come later. 1,300 years later, what I do now don't mean that. Hey, you'd be surprised what God is looking for. You'd be surprised what, folks, listen to me. This can happen here 3,000 plus years ago. But there's something could happen right now in lives of people that when, if the Lord don't come back, your children have children they remember could change the whole thing in life. God can take things they see and later make it real in their lives. God's not just through with us because we got a little time in time. God wants to use us. If someone needs a standard, someone needs a memory, they can remember something specifically that they saw that were mother and dad honor their in-laws. And the in-laws honor their mother and dad. And together they honor God. And because that honored God, they in turn, God honored them. My Father, I want to thank you again for the message. Lord, I know this is a message will not be preached in most churches across this country on Mother's Day. There's always a fear. God never let me fear what I'm supposed to preach. I may not have a place to preach next week, but never let me fear what I have to preach. I spend my time in this book. I spend my time with you in prayer. I have to make hundreds of decisions every week that deals with people's lives. I'm not arrived, but there's some things I know. When God gives us truth and examples in this book, they work among frail people. In Jesus' wonderful name, I pray. Amen.